website. Thank you for listening and stopping in. Brother Larry will be back on here next Sunday morning. He's on vacation. He'll be back Sunday morning. He'll be in Trinity preaching a conference over there that Monday, the following Monday week, and be over there for several days. I might try to drive over there to go hearing. But please come back. If you our guests, please come back. You want to come here. You want to come here, Brother Larry. That's who you want to hear. Amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles, turn over to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. We just read about, 15, chapter 15. We just read in chapter 13 about Saul and some problems he has had. And those problems continued throughout the whole time that Saul was king, and it was his downfall. We're going to begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 1 here in a minute. But and we're going to see what happens. My sermon title is Sacrifice versus Obedience. The sacrifices are something that God gave to the children of Israel to do, and after they came out of Egypt, because they hadn't been doing anything, and he commanded them to do these sacrifices, and it was required that the sacrifices that they were making, they would take that animal that was to be sacrificed to the priests. And the priests were the one that was to make the sacrifice. Well, in chapter 13, we read that Saul decided to do the sacrifice himself, where it was Samuel's position to do that. Samuel was a priest, and he was also a prophet. And he was coming there to make the sacrifice, but he didn't show up at the time that Saul wanted him to be there. And so Saul did the sacrifice himself. And Samuel let him know about it. But let's go on and read in here, and we're going to look at some things as we read down through here. Samuel, verse number 1, Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Very simple. You need to obey what God is saying. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. Now who was Amalek? Amalek is a cousin to Israel. Amalek's grandfather was Esau. Esau was Jacob's brother. So they were cousins. But here he's saying, I remember what Amalek did to them. They were cousins, and Israel spent 430 years down in Egypt. But when they came out, they were trapped walking through the land. Amalek came out against Israel and wanted to destroy them and fight against them and keep them from coming in. So Israel and Amalek, they had a fight. They had a battle. Just a minute. Well, it's not the one I wanted, but it'll work. There's a rod here. You remember what Moses had? You remember what Moses carried? He carried a rod, didn't he? That rod, that's what he used there in Egypt. And he threw it down one time and it became a snake, ate up some snakes. He used that rod and all the plagues that God brought down upon Egypt. He used that rod as part of the Red Sea when they walked through the Red Sea there. He used that rod to smote a rock and water came out. Well, here now they're in this battle with Amalek. God told Abraham, I'm going through all of them. He told Moses, you just go stand up there on that hill, and as they're fighting, you hold that rod up and you win. So Moses got out there and he held his arms up, and Joshua and there was Hur and Aaron went up with Moses on the hill. Joshua was the commander in chief down on the battlefield fighting Amalek. And as long as Moses held his arms up, they were winning. But he got tired, like I'm getting right now holding my arms up. So he let his arms down. Guess what happened? Amalek started winning. So he put his arms back up again. They started winning, and Israel started winning. He got tired of holding up, let him back down. Amalek started winning again. So Aaron and Hur took Moses, set him on a rock, and they got on each side of Moses and held his arms up, and Israel won the battle against Amalek. Now, Amalek is a picture of something that you and I deal with every day. It's called the flesh. Amalek is a picture of the flesh. And if we're not careful, Amalek will take over and defeat us. It's a battle we face every day and have to deal with. But here it is. He told them, I'm going to trip myself up here. He told them, you go fight Amalek and destroy Amalek. We got to get this flesh thing out of here. So, remember what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for them in the way when he came from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. So here's a direct command from God through Samuel to Saul to go down and destroy Amalek. Plain and simple. That's what he commanded him to do. And he said in verse 3, now go smite Amalek and destroy all that they have, spare them not, slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Destroy everything about them. Well, Brother Gary, isn't that kind of cruel to destroy even kids and babies? Listen, folks, I don't always understand everything about God. This is one of them right here. But this I know, God had a reason for it. He wanted them to destroy everything about Amalek. Because one day Amalek would rise up again if given the chance. Verse 4. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait for it in the valley. Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag the king of the Amalekites alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now here's the problem. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. When God gives us commands, he wants us to do things his way. When he gives us something to do, he has a set plan that he wants in a way that he wants it done. And then when we don't follow God's direction, what's it called? Disobedience. There's a verse in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We use it all the time when dealing with talking to people, trying to lead somebody to the Lord. We call it a salvation verse. It's in the Romans Road to Salvation. Have you ever read the Romans Road? It's there. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe this whole book right here was given to God's people. He gave it to the children of he gave it to the Jews. I'm going to make a statement here. And if you don't agree with it, that's okay. I'm not going to break friendship over anybody over this statement. But I don't believe that God gave the Bible to the world. Now, let me explain myself. He gave it to his people, and he required his people to take his word to the world. That's what we're to do. That was our job. But he gave his word to his people so they could know him better. In the New Testament, we get saved, and he's given us his word so that we can know him better. And it's still our job to take this book to the world. Now, we use that verse in salvation, talking to somebody about getting saved, and that's true. But listen, that verse applies to everybody, even the saved. For the wages of sin is death. Listen very carefully. Every time we do something wrong, something dies. Maybe not a physical death, but maybe it's a blessing that God intended us to have that we lose when we do something wrong because of disobedience. Maybe it's something that he had planned for our life that he wanted to give us just to bless us with. Maybe we lose that when something dies. Well, same thing. That's what happens here. Let's go on and read some more. But he saved the best of the people and saved everything. Verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, now remember now, this disobedience problem is something that's been ongoing in Saul's life. Saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and he hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord, unto the Lord, all night long. You know what we're missing right now in the church? Some all-nighters, prayer meetings. I mean, people staying up all night praying. What's wrong in America now? I don't remember the last time I've been up all night praying. Now, I've gotten up in the middle of the night and prayed, but not all night. But I remember that used to be a thing. Our country was different then. We need some people that'll pray all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, he was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, that's a lie. And Samuel said, and here's, listen, you can't get anything past God. And by the way, when you tell a lie, guess what? You got to tell another lie to cover that lie. And then it begins a domino effect. But listen, when you tell a lie, there's always something that comes out and lets people know, oh, that was a lie. And right here, it's a bunch of sheep. The sheep knew about the lie. They knew. They let him know. Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating, this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them. Now he's saying they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now what's he doing? He's passing the buck off. He's saying, I didn't do that. They did it. How many times have we heard that before? You know, that's what we heard in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, God confronted them. And what did Adam say? She did it. It's her fault. She did it. What'd she say? It's the devil's fault. He made me do it. The devil didn't make you do anything. When we do something wrong, we choose to do what's wrong. And that's our flesh taking over. That's happened with Samuel, with Saul right here. He's letting his flesh control everything about him. He's passing the buck off on somebody else that it's not his fault. And by the way, it's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? Nobody wants to accept that they did wrong. That's where Saul is at right now. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, when you didn't have that eye problem, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? That's covetousness. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, the sheep, oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. He lost his kingdom because he disobeyed. In the very next chapter, we find that God ordains and anoints a little young man by the name of David to take over. A whole new chapter was starting. But Samuel did what God wanted him to do. Saul disobeyed. Quickly. I'll give you three things and we'll be done. Our disobedience always affects others. It hurts innocent people. Every time we do something wrong, somebody is always affected by it. And it's always somebody that's innocent of the whole thing that got to get hurt. Number two. Our disobedience will lead to other sins. In Saul's case, it led to lying. It led to covetousness. It led to blaming others. It's not my fault. And it'll keep on leading to other sins. Number three, our disobedience, if not dealt with, will take us down a road of no return. Someone said this one time. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll take you further than you want to go. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. That sin, that disobedience that we get involved in, is not worth the price that it costs later. Saul knew. Saul never truly dealt with his sin of disobedience. Never did. Well, he says that he confessed it right there. He said, well, let's look at it. Let's see. He said, verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Okay, that sounds like he's taking care of it. But continue to read. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin. Who's he asking him to pardon? He's asking Saul. Saul is asking Samuel to pardon his sin, not God. And turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, Saul says, this is Saul, I have sinned. Now notice here, and here's the problem right here. This is why he didn't truly deal with it. His next statement, yet honor me now. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. He never truly repented. He didn't deal with the disobedience. He didn't deal with it the first time he was confronted. And it led to his downfall. When we have things in our life that we're dealing, that are there, that should not be, and we don't deal with them, they'll take us down a road we don't want to go. Folks, God has a plan for us. He has things that we want to do that we can't imagine possible. But when we go down the wrong road, there's things that'll happen that we can't imagine possible if we're not careful. God knows our character, and sometimes he shows us our own character. That's what happens when we go through trials and problems. He already knows what we're going to do. He doesn't have to take us down to know. He already knows. He is showing us ourselves how we're going to respond by what our character is. True character is always seen in adversity. He had a chance to show, and that's what happened to Saul. He showed his true character in the story. Parents, your children will become what you are. So you become what you want them to be. You'll never guess who told me that. Joan Hilton. The issue in this story is what is more important, sacrifice or offerings, or our obedience. God would rather we be obedient than to make sacrifices. But I find when we are obedient to God, we then make sacrifices. Then we then make sacrifices that are always for the benefit of someone else and not for ourselves. Saul's whole problem was just that. He did it for himself and not for someone else. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we need you here today. We need you to speak to our hearts. We ask you, dear God, that you would show us your way. You'd help us to be obedient to you. The blessings of being obedient far outweigh the sacrifice of disobedience. And it sure makes for a happy heart. Have your blessings. So we ask you, dear God, show us if we failed you. Show us if we've done wrong. And help us, Lord, to take care of it today. And Lord, we want to live for you and glorify you. So help us, Lord, to do just that. If someone here doesn't know you, Jesus, may today will you show them that they need to trust you. Strengthen your people, Lord. Serve you in Jesus' name.